is Vicky, so when he signs on, I guess at some point we'll you know, have
okay.
to go. Probably closer to the end
okay.
of the meeting. Sorry about that. Okay.
No, no, that's okay. I just wanted to double check so we wouldn't keep her waiting. So why don't we go ahead and jump into the slate of officers for this coming year discussion. So to sort of give you a quick summary, we have Scott Becker, who has been our treasurer, whose term is coming to an end. We have Nate Barnes, whose SRC term is coming to an end. We have the vice chair opening, which right now is open by virtue of the fact that I've moved into the chairperson's role and Alan Gunsberg's departure due to his term ending. So we've got a few different vacancies to deal with here. So I'd like to take the temperature of the room and kind of see who might be interested in putting their names up for some of these vacancies with the hope that we would be able to vote on a slate of officers at our September meeting. So starting with the chairperson situation, so I guess I'm in place to run the next meeting in September. I can tell you that before Alan's term ended, he and I had discussed the chairperson role, and Alan felt very strongly, and I agreed with him 100% on this topic, that the chairperson really should be someone who has the lived experience of being blind. And I think we both agreed that it was just so critically important to have a person in that leadership role be someone that has lived that experience. And I just think that perspective is so important and so helps to inform the decisions that we make in the SRC. And I just think that's important. And I'm not sure how everybody else feels about that. I was the vice chair up until this meeting today, and I would not be opposed to continuing in that role as vice chair. But at the same time, if there's someone else on the SRC that would like to take a turn in that role, I would be more than happy to step aside. So I'm not claiming any rights to that by any stretch of the imagination. So as far as I'm concerned, the chairperson vacancy or the chairperson position and the vice chair position are wide open. I would be interested in also hearing if we have anybody that's interested in taking Nate Barnes' position as a secretary. That role basically involves taking an update that's provided to you by Brian before each meeting and then reporting out. And then we have the treasurer position, which Scott has ably handled for us throughout the past year. So starting with that, Scott, I'm not sure what your feelings are in terms of your potential willingness to stay on for another term as our treasurer.
I'd be happy to, sure.
Okay, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, but if you're interested in that, I think that's helpful. If there's anybody else that is interested in that position, that does not preclude you from throwing your hat into the ring. So at this point, I think I'd just like to sort of open it up to all of you guys to weigh in on whether any of you are personally interested in filling any of those positions. I'd welcome any comments or feedback from you at this point.
John Carmola here. Mike, apologies for the odd-ish question. So are you blind/looking to continue as chairperson?
I'm sorry. John, thank you for asking that. I apologize. I should have said that up front. No, I am not. That's where I feel like that's something that I am not able to bring to the table as the chairperson. But however, I feel that it's critically important that the chairperson have that lived experience. So I'm sorry for not clarifying that up front. That's my fault.
Okay. Thank you. But you would be either interested or okay with maintaining co-chair or vice chair?
Yeah, I would have no problem with that at all. No, if there was no one else that felt strongly about wanting to run for that, I'd be glad to stay in that position, but at the same time, if someone wanted to, I'd be glad to step aside as well.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you for taking this on today.
Oh, sure, no problem. So any thoughts, guys, around some of those vacancies? Taking the treasurer position, for instance, if no one is is interested in that, and Scott was willing to stay on. Scott, we would appreciate that, and I would suggest we put your name up for the September slate of officers that we could vote on. In terms of the secretary position, is there anybody that would be willing to follow in Nate's footsteps as our secretary, knowing that you would be getting updates from Brian prior to each SRC meeting on what to report on? Anybody out there willing to take that on? Not so fast. Not all at once. One at a time, please. All right, we're going to have 22 minutes of silence between now and 12 o'clock, I guess.
Good morning.
Secretary interest. Hello.
Good morning. This is Crystal Kelly. I just wanted to let you guys know that our success story is present and ready when you guys are ready to move forward with that.
Okay, thanks, Crystal. You know what? Why don't we go ahead and jump to that, because the silence is deafening in terms of the interest in the secretary position right now. So this might be a good time to take a breather, and we'll cut away to the success story. So you go ahead and take it away.
All right, thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Crystal Kelly. I'm a vocational counselor. I've been with BSB a little over 2 years. I am here to introduce Vicki Caldwell, who will be presenting her success story. I've worked with Vicki since 2018, and since that time, we have worked very well together. With that being said, Vicki, I will let you have the floor.
Hello, I am Vicki Caldwell. I reside in New Milford, Connecticut, and Crystal has been amazing. Just a little backstory on me. I am an adult living with albinism. I don't know which one, but it's one that affects me totally, hair, eyes, you name it, everything. And ironically, I have an identical twin sister. Nobody will be supporting her, though. She lives in Columbus, Ohio. So, but I am a very well-adjusted, happy, married with two kids who do not have albinism but are twins like me. And so, sorry, getting a little off track, which is what I tend to do sometimes, so I apologize. But I have, my history is I had been trying to be a teacher for the longest time. I'm a certified Spanish teacher. And I done that for a while in the Waterbury area and other places and just not been super satisfied with that. And the reason Kelly has gotten involved was I had been reaching out to BSB for assistance. I'm a fairly high-functioning adult and looking to get back into the customer service field that I had way, way, way long ago before my children, and I'd been putting out my resume to a bunch of different places. Well, I had been working at a position doing collections, not super satisfied, but Kelly informed me that she had, with my approval, had submitted a resume, my resume, to a position using the Indeed.com website, and it turned out to be the absolute best fit possible. I love doing customer service. I get to do a bit of logistics, which has been in my background as well, and I am now happily employed at a company called Blue Crest. You may be familiar with them, not realizing you're familiar with them. They were a division of Pitney Bowes, broke off and completely spun away on their own, and one of the absolute great things is during this quarantine, I have been able to work from home, so the transportation, which had been a bit of a issue to have to deal with previously, is not an issue of late, so that has been an even greater, yay, this really works out for me. So the success was that she reached out and helped me get the position by submitting my resume. And then, but it doesn't end there, because I wear my glasses when I'm awake, at least, and sometimes switch between several different pairs. And back in November, switching from one of my pairs of glasses, My pair that I normally use, the arm decided it had enough and it broke. So I reached back out to Kelly and I said, Kelly, I'm doing my job, I'm really enjoying it, but I don't have a pair of glasses that I can use. And so she said, we'll get with you. So filed the necessary paperwork, and literally the week, and I mean the week of the quarantine taking place, my husband drove me over, and we were able to pick up the pair of glasses that had been made for me on that Monday, and I'm so glad it worked out what it did, because if it hadn't, I don't know how much longer I would have had to wait, but I now have a pair of transition glasses, which is great. I have a pair of, and those are the ones that broke, I have a pair of prescription sunglasses, because sometimes the transitions don't always work, and those I had gotten before, and then I also I have a design for vision bioptic for the, let's say you're at a fast food restaurant and you need to see the menu, and you know, just the things off in the distance that just seem to be a bit out of my reach. So that is the, I don't know if there is a question and answer or anybody wants to ask, or Kelly, if you want to take on more, but, everybody who knows me knows that I could talk for quite a bit longer, but I will put a comma in what I have been saying so far and turn it over to whoever, Kelly, or whoever wishes to ask or continue on.
Are there any questions?
Vicki, this is Mike. It sounds like you're doing super well. Congratulations. I was just wondering whether there's any talk about when you might be having to go back and work in the office as opposed to from home.
They haven't yet, and I am so far right now fortunate. My husband is an engineer, and he literally works in the building that is situated right next to mine. And so for transportation, he has been what I've been able to use up until now. Since my work is down in Danbury, and I live up in New Milford. But no, as of yet, no, and thankfully enough, I can do my entire job 100% online. That may be even how we proceed, but that hasn't even been talked about just yet.
Gotcha. Okay, great. Thanks for answering that. That's great. Does anybody else have any questions for Vicki?
Hey, it's Kendra. It's not a question. It's just more of a comment. Thank you so much for sharing this. Just inspiring. I have a son who's visually impaired, and it's always nice to hear these feel-good stories. So thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
No problem. And I just wish, I want to offer, being an adult with albinism, it is really challenging, I know, as you all know, but I would put myself out there if somebody, you know, if there's somebody that would like to, a younger person in our area that says, wow, I wish there was somebody that looked like me. Since I had a twin sister, I was able to say, wow, I'm not alone in this world. Somebody else goes along, you know, knows some of the things that I'm dealing with. So I would put myself out there and say, if there is a younger person or just somebody else who wishes to have the, you know what, you're not alone. There are people out there. Oh, and there's somebody who lives in Connecticut. I would be happy to be that kind of a friendly, you know, life's rough sometimes. There are challenges, and, just a friendly voice.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Thank you.
This is Anita, the VR counselor. What company, you said that you worked in Danbury, which company are you employed in?
It's called Bluecrest. They are a relatively new company. They were a division of Pitney Bowes, but about 2 years ago, they completely broke away on their own. Again, Bluecrest Inc., and I do customer service, kind of logistics. I'm sort of an account manager for them. I answer phone calls and do a lot of email responding.
Okay, I'm wondering, because in this, where, if you don't mind me asking, where Bluecrest is located in Danbury?
If you're familiar with, a common landmark is the Best Buy parking lot with the Lowe's AMC and all that. They are literally the next light down, right there.
Oh, okay. Off of Newtown Road.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And are you having a really good experience with the employer and, you know, the working conditions?
Yes.
Are they accommodating your visual?
They have,
okay, that's
They have been great. Like, when, like I get to have two screens, and initially one of the screens wasn't quite as large, and then they said, no problem. They were able to find me another one. And then when it went to transition to working from home with the coronavirus, they said, you know, I had had a screen that I could use that was mine at home, and they sent me home another screen. So I basically have the two screen setup that I was used to at work at my house. So, no, they have been very accommodating, very understanding.
Great. So if they have any job opportunities, that can be
done.
Yes. That's great to hear, actually. Thank you.
No problem.
Great. Vicki, thank you very much for sharing your story with us, and also for your willingness to put yourself out there and assist others who might want to reach out to you. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. So if there's nothing else, I think I will drop off of this phone call.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
No
for
problem.
Your
problem.
Bye.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you too, Crystal. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, so just back in terms of the, just jumping back to the slate of officers, Brian, is that something we can postpone until September to give everybody a couple of months to think about their potential willingness to fill one of those vacancies?
Yeah, I think that what can happen is that you could be the designee to receive the emails of interest from anyone, and we can put in the minutes that what your email address is, so that if anybody wants to email you to say, yes, I'm willing to have my name on it for one of these spots, then it could be brought forward. At the September meeting, you also open up the floor for nominations at the meeting itself. You know, obviously we do need a slate of officers, so I'm hoping that members of the SRC are willing to step forward and consider, you know, taking on one of these spots.
Yep, and I am too. So let's go ahead and do that. You're more than welcome to put my email out there if people want to submit their names to me, and we can collect them, and I can forward them to you. Sure.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll move on then next, because we've got about 11 minutes left here. So, Brian, I'm going to jump to you for the report from the BSBY State Director, the program update.
Okay. The agency is primarily the whole, and certainly the Bureau. We are in a telework environment. We are working remotely. There are very few people that go to the building, and they only go on a part-time basis, mostly some support staff in order to help move the mail, get things scanned and sent to our staff that are working remotely. And for the foreseeable future, this is how we are going to continue to deliver services. We are working on a plan. It's in the very early stages of what it will look like when we start making the building more available for staff to go to, but it will still be limited. And the good news is, what we have found is that working remotely and utilizing virtual technologies have allowed for a real benefit in how we are able to, first off, reach some clients, because many of our clients are now also working from home or at home if they're not working, so it's easier to reach clients. But using technology such as Microsoft Teams or FaceTime, we have found that our service delivery staff are still able to provide a significant amount of services in a virtual way. Where direct services are needed, for instance, like if it's a rehabilitation teacher, we're mailing the devices to their home and then arranging for a virtual training, or maybe a telephone training, or maybe they have a family member who can be of assistance. In our transition school to work area, many of the programs that had summer camp opportunities on site in the past are now offering virtual camps for this summer, and actually that's making it a bit easier for some of our students who maybe wouldn't have been in a position to travel and be somewhere out of state, they can participate virtually. In terms of, for instance, our Children's Services program does a fall in-service series that they offer to school district staff. We've already made the decision this will be done as a virtual training this fall. We certainly don't know whether or not the building would be available in the fall, and if it was, what the limitations would be on capacity. So we just decided, rather than, wondering what's going to happen, let's just go forward with a virtual training. So I feel that the methods that our staff are utilizing is still allowing us to deliver services. Some of the challenges that we've been experiencing as a result of this virtual world is many of the vendors that we have been utilizing for services in voc rehab, while they're offering some virtual services, much of what was previously done was direct service, face-to-face contact, and those services have been, in essence, stopped. And we're only now starting to see some of those services ramping back up again. So we have not seen a tremendous amount of job placement activity. What we've seen instead is our counselors are providing more of job retention assistance, for instance, helping clients who have been working at a company, helping those clients to transition successfully to a virtual setting out of their homes, and providing some of the technologies that those clients need in order to work from home now. But as we're starting to see a gradual return to some community-based services, I anticipate that we'll start seeing some increases in the numbers of purchase services we'll be doing. But for right now, our purchase services are down considerably because, frankly, there hasn't been much to purchase. The colleges that are operating are primarily operating virtually, so authorizations for room and board, obviously there's no room and board because their students aren't on the campus. And so we are now in voc rehab actually having a concern that we will likely not be able to achieve our maintenance of effort requirements, which is a federal requirement that whatever we spent in non-federal dollars 2 years ago, we have to spend at least that amount in non-federal dollars this year, or we risk a penalty in the loss of the federal dollars if we fall short in hitting that 2 year ago level. We're not alone in this. Most of the voc rehab programs across the country are having the exact same concern. The Council of State Administrators of Vocational Rehabilitation and the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind have both written to Rehabilitation Services Administration requesting certain waiver authorities, and in response to that, the Secretary of Education has actually forwarded to Congress a letter requesting certain waiver authorities because voc rehab agencies across the country are not only experiencing this concern, some aren't even having enough expenditures to meet their match requirement. And with many of the high schools closed, it's very difficult for us to spend the 15% reserve requirement for pre-employment transition services. So we are hopeful that there will be some waivers granted to acknowledge that COVID has had such a substantial impact on how voc rehab is spending their funds right now. So that's my program update.
How about the legislation update, Brian? Would you or Andrew want to give that?
This is Andrew Norton. I will say that Aging and Disability Services, are the mother agency, had a bill. It was largely technical in nature that was moving through the system, but that bill, like all bills, sort of disappeared into the air when the legislature shut down in March. They actually shut down for 4 days of deep cleaning, but they never came back, which is, you know, like the rest of the world. So they do talk about having a session to do the budget. July 1st starts the second year of the two-year budget. So legally, it isn't totally absolutely necessary, perhaps, because funds are appropriated to agencies such as ours. But every year, they always do make some real changes to the budget halfway through the two-year term. And, of course, there's also discussion of doing bills regarding vaccinations and, more particularly, as you all know, doing bills regarding police reform. So between those various issues, they may come into session sometime next month. But I don't know that, and I don't know a date, and I don't know what budget proposals they have. Obviously, money, our forecasted financial future was bad already, and of course now it's worse. But what changes they might propose, I don't know. You know, they could always say, oh, cut every state agency by 5% or something like that. And I'm just making that up, but something people do. All of which is to say, I don't really know anything. And it doesn't seem like there's anyone who really knows exactly what the next steps are for legislative activity. But perhaps in July they'll be meeting. But I don't think they'll be dealing with some of the bills that we were interested in. I think they'll be dealing with bigger picture or more topical issues like police reform. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to take any questions.
Sure, Andrew. Just a quick question for you. So, with the budget situation being what it is, and as you had explained, this is sort of year two of the two-year budget. So you guys don't expect any discontinuance of services or relationships with vendors that you contract with while the budget situation is being sorted out or finalized?
Well, I guess I shouldn't say I know, and Brian actually might be able to speak to that more intelligently. I don't anticipate that, but anything could happen.
Okay.
I think the big thing will probably be to cut the salaries of all the officers on the SRC committee. I think the chairman's salary will probably be cut in half. Secretary's salary. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be silly. I just don't really have an answer to the question you asked. I don't anticipate that, but I couldn't express shock at any change in events, right? I just don't know.
Sure. Well, the SRC officers have all vowed not to take a salary this year in order to contribute toward that cost. So hopefully that helps a little bit.
That is noble.
I thought you'd think so. Thank you for your report, Andrew. We appreciate it. So just lastly, in terms of the report from the chair, I just want to say to you guys, thank you for putting up with me in my first meeting today as chair. And I just want to say that everyone on the SRC is here for a reason, and it's because it was determined that your voice is an important one and that you each bring something valuable to the table. And I encourage all of you to let your voices be heard in these meetings and want to encourage dissenting opinions, as I really do believe that a vibrant discussion is going to enable us to make the best possible decision. So I want everybody to feel free to speak up, whether you're in the majority on some discussions or whether you're in the minority. We want to hear from you. So having said all that, I just want to say stay safe and stay healthy, and we will talk to all of you in September at our next SRC meeting. So I guess at this point we'll take a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
That's you, right, Nate?
Yes.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
This is Deb Reed. I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Deb. Okay, we are officially adjourned. Thank you all again, and we'll talk to you in September. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Mike.